Okay, today we're learning Nida Daf Samachay. We're going to start at the last three lines. Okay, so in yesterday, we started the perek, and the Mishnah starts out with three types of women who get married. Tinoket, Shaloi Giyazmana Lirot, she's very young, and then she gets married. And then we're going to have, across the whole Mishnah, there was a machloket by Shammai Beit Hillel. So first we have a tinoket who's young and didn't yet get her period, and she gets married. So the question becomes, we saw this yesterday, how do we view her blood that she sees? If she sees dam betulim, right, so we assume that's dam betulim, that's not regular dam nida, and she's not, it's not a problem. But the question is, for how long can we assume that her bleeding is still dam betulim and not dam nida? So Beit Shammai had said 4 days, and Beit Hillel said until it heals, it could be even longer than that. Then we had Higiyaz Manalirot, she already is of age but still hasn't yet gotten her period and then gets married. So Beit Shammai says she gets 1 night, and Beit Hillel says she gets 4 nights till Motzei Shabbat, because they generally got married on Wednesdays. And then we had, if she already has her period and she's still in her father's home, when she was still in her father's home before she got married, Beit Shammai says she gets just Bi'ilat Mitzvah. Anything after the first time they have, there's a difference between Laila Rishon and Bi'ilat Mitzvah. Laila Rishon means the whole night. She could have sex a number of times at any time, attribute the bleeding. In this case, we're already going to say just one time. Any blood after that is not a problem. Okay? However, it doesn't mean she has to separate from her husband, right? It just means if she were to bleed after that, it would already be problematic. We'd say it was Nida. And Beit Hillel says she actually gets the whole first night also. Okay? It's interesting. Okay, so we'll get back. So he says in the Mishnah, Kol alai l'kula, we'll see a different version later. Rav, at three lines from the bottom now. Amar Rav, bogeret notnim la laila harishon. This was all he claims the whole Mishnah was talking about. If she got a period, didn't get a period, that's all though, if she's young. But if she was already 12 years plus 6 months, and she was already what we consider an older girl, then, right, which normally would be anybody nowadays who gets married, she gets Laila Harishon, okay? She gets 1 night, and that's it. Vahani Mile, but then they limit what Rav says. There's actually a debate whether Rav himself limited his statement or someone else came and limited his statement. Shelo Ra'ata, Aval Ra'ata, that's only if she's older, but yet still hasn't gotten her period. Okay, so we're going to distinguish between older with a period, older without a period. So when Rav said when she's older, she gets the whole first night, that's only if she didn't get her period yet. Aval ra'ata, but if she got her period already, ein la ela bilat mitzvah betulo. Then already we're going to give her the most narrow focus. Now, it seems strange to us, but there's a concern here that by having sex for the first time, it might affect her period. It might bring her period on. Okay? It's this interesting concept that somehow there was a connection here. Different reasons are given, either because bodily movements and, you know, some activity there that she wasn't used to, that's going to bring her period. There's something else that we talk about, halacha dam chimud. This is actually a relevant halacha. Before a woman gets married, she counts 7 clean days the week leading up to the wedding, right? Normally we count 7 clean days after her last period. But a woman who's getting married generally overlaps those two. She won't necessarily wait till after her periods. She doesn't start counting after her period. She waits till the 7 days before, because there's a concern that when she's about to get married, all the excitement will bring on her period. We know sometimes, right, periods come from stress and all that. So there's a concern here also that night there's this chimud, and that that might bring her period. So because of that, right, and then it all depends on, well, how likely are you to get a period? Have you gotten a period yet? What age are you, right? That there's a difference between how regular your period would be, even if you're getting your period when you're young, right, that it's still not necessarily regular. Or once you're older and you've already gotten your period, well, then there's more of a chance that you're actually going to get your period. So that's what he says. So now, again, Rav narrowed and said, oh, everything in the Mishnah was only talking about younger women. But once she's already a bogeret, then she gets Laila Rishon, but she only gets Laila Rishon if she doesn't yet have her period. If she has her period, then she only gets the Bi'ilat Mitzvah. Now we're going to bring a question on Rav. The fact that he says a bogeret gets Laila Rishon, Meitive. So now we have a question from a Braita. Ma'aseh v'natan la Rebbe arba leilot mitoch yud ben chodesh. This is a very strange case. Okay, there's a man. Okay, there's someone in our shir who has this situation going on now, who goes away for long periods of time. Okay, thankfully just came home. Rebbe gave this woman four nights over a period of 12 months because her husband kept traveling for periods of 3 months. And every 3 months he was home. So she gets four nights. This goes back to right certain situations where she gets four nights. The four nights were extended over a period of 12 months. So hechidami, how could this be that she got four nights? Because now we have to remember, if she was already a bogeret, well, she doesn't get four nights because she only gets Laila HaRishon. So what's the situation? So we're going to suggest a bunch of suggestions, then we're going to get to one suggestion and say, well, that's going to be our question on Rav. Ilema di yavla kulu b'yame katnut. Maybe all the days, because remember, if she's a ktana, then she gets four nights. So, right, there was the case of which case she gets four nights, right, according to the middle case. Higiyaz mana lira'ot, right? Actually, that's not a ktana, right? The ktana would be Beit Shammai says four nights, but anyway, let's see. So if she was all b'yimei katnut, so then it doesn't make any sense because she gets more than four nights. She gets ad shtichya makah, right? Only Beit Shammai would say four nights, but we don't hold that way. Can't be a ktana because then she would get, according to Beit Hillel, until it's all healed. Tanan. Ela, that, right? That's what it says in the Mishnah. Ela diyavla kulu b'yimei na'arot. Let's say it's all in the time. Okay, we have to go through categories. We have a ktana, right? According to halacha, there's a ktana. That's under age 12. We have a Nara. That's 12 plus, right? It's 12, 12 and 6 months, okay? It's basically 6 month period. Well, now try to figure that out. We just said Yud Bechodesh. She can't possibly be Nara for an entire period of a year. So that can't be. So if right Nara, Yud Bechodesh Mi'ika, there's no such thing. V'hamar Shmuel, how do we know this? Because Shmuel said, Ein bein na'arut lebagrut ela vav chodeshim bilvad. The only difference between na'arut and bagrut is 6 months. In other words, right, the 12, for the first 6 months, she's 12 with 6 months. That's na'ara. It's really also once she has two pubic hairs, then she, the first 6 month period, she's called a na'ara. After that, she's a bogeret. So you can't possibly say that she was a na'ara for all that time. Na'ara would be the perfect answer because he says she gets four leilot. And what do we say four leilot? That's for the four leilot is dafka for a na'ara. Okay, so now, but you can't say that. And even if you were to say, they're going to say, v'chi tema bitzir mehacha hu deleika, hatve ika, maybe he said, ein bein arul bagrut ela vav chodeshim, meaning that's the minimum time she could be a na'ara. Maybe though she could theoretically, you could find a woman who was a na'ara for a whole year. You can't possibly say that because look at the words. Ha bilvad ka'amar, he said, Ein bein arut lebagrut ela vav chodeshim bilva. Bilva means only. Only 6 months, meaning it can't be more than that. So it can't be she was a ktana because she would get more than 4 days. She would, right? She would end up with until it heals. It can't be that it's a na'ara because there's no such thing as a na'ara for 12 months. So now, and it can't be that she's a gdola, right? A bogeret because she doesn't get four nights. So now we're really stuck. So obviously we're going to have some sort of combination. Let's try this. Two b'yimei katnut, two she's young, two she's a na'ara, and that's why in the end we end up with four, okay? So, because she doesn't get till it heals because she became a na'ara in the middle. That would sound like a good solution, but there's going to be a problem with this one too. He asked the following question of Rav. Remember his name? Because we're going to come up with some random statement he says, and it's all going to be because he came up here with Rav. He was having a discussion with Rav. Later, we're going to quote something he says in the name of Rav. Right? That's how the Gemara works. So Rav Chinin Bar Shlemi asked Rav, Higiyaz mana lirot tachat ba'ala mahu. If she started bleeding, right, she reached the age where she could get her period while she's already married, mahu. So how do we treat this? In other words, that's exactly this overlap where all of a sudden she became a na'ara where she's potentially of the age to get her period. Amarle. So he answered him, Rav answered, Kol bi'ilot sha'ata bo'el einan ela achat. Anything that happens until na'arut is considered one. So we now had tanut, right? We had two when she was a ktana, and then we had two when she's a na'ara. So the tanut, though, all counts as one. So we end up with three nights and not four nights. So that doesn't help us either. Okay? As we count, right, the assumption is every 3 months, two of those were in Katznut. That would count as one. Again, the numbers just don't work. So now they say, right, so Kobi lo chatabu el inen el echad. I'm just going to continue reading that line. Bashar mashlimim l'dalid leilot. So theoretically, she should get three when she's a nara, which means really she should have five altogether because two are in Katznut, which counts as one, plus another three. So Ella, so finally now we're going to get to our case that's going to create a problem. Okay, so now she ends up with one when she was a ketana, two during that 6 month period as a na'ara, right? So here are her four re'iyot. So one ketana, one na'ara, right? Two na'ara, and one boker. Okay, so now how's this going to work? And why is this going to create a problem with Rav? So, Iyamar Bishlama, if you're going to say Bogeret Ba'alma Yavina Latfe, if you're going to say a Bogeret, now remember, what did Rav say? A Bogeret gets Laila Achat, one night. Okay? Well, now we're going to have a bit of a problem because if you're going to say, let's assume Rav said, they're suggesting this, isn't what Rav said, two nights, then it would make sense. Okay? And that's what we're going to say. Otherwise, we can't see it any other way. What are the two nights? Why does that make sense? If you say Bogerib Alma Yavina Litfe, she gets more than one night, let's say two. Kihechi dahani katnut bimeina arutlim bibsar lechada. What do we say? If a ketana sees a number of times, we're going to count that all as one. And then already when she becomes an arasur, she now gets three more. Well, we could say the same thing. We could say the ketana and na'ara all together, okay, we're going to say counts as one. Okay, let's read it inside. So if you say Bogerib Alma gets more than. If just like katnut b'yimein arut lemivtzal echada minus is one off her count of four, remember the nara gets four. So if you say if she sees once when she's a ketana, so then when she's a nara she gets an additional three. Then what would you say here? Ahane nami na'arut lebagrut lemivtzal echada. So you would say all the times she saw before she was a bogeret that counts as one, and now what does she get? One more because now she's. Right, and this, again, this was all, if you were to say, why does she get the fourth night here? She gets the fourth time because everything before counts as one, and this counts as one. So one plus one, very simply, equals two. So that sounds like she gets two nights. But here we're going to see what doesn't work. Iyamar bishlama bogeret ba'alma yahavin amat. Sorry, I read that. Ela iyamar bogeret ama lo yahavin amatve. But if you say a bogeret doesn't get any more than that, meaning she only gets one night, well, in this case, when was her one night? It was already before she was a bogeret. So this has to count as something, everything that happened before. So what should she get when she's a bogeret? Lo leitiv le ela b'ilat mitzvah v'tulo. She should just basically get to sleep with her husband once. The mitzvah, some people say this isn't really a mitzvah. She already slept with him. B'ilat mitzvah is, you know, on the first night. But maybe there's something to saying the first night when she's a bogeret, or maybe it's not really a mitzvah, and it's just they're using that terminology to just say, she gets to sleep with him once, and that's it. She doesn't get any more. Okay? So, we're stuck with saying, it doesn't sound like what Rav says, that she gets Laila Achat. Because if she got Laila Achat, that Laila would have been taken up, and she wouldn't get the whole night, she'd only get B'ilat mitzvah. So, they say this doesn't make sense according to Rav, so how can we explain it? So in order to explain it, they're going to basically say, this isn't the case, okay, forget the case. We're going to come up now. Until this point, what did we assume? This woman saw, over a period of 12 months, every 3 months. And that was why we got into the situation with the Na'ara. She couldn't possibly see three times as a Na'ara or four times as a Na'ara. So now they're going to be a little more creative and say that it's not exactly the case. Lo la'olam diyavla achat bimei katnut. One, she was a ketana. Okay, so now we're going to say, for the first 6 months, okay, 6 months and 6 months, she was a ketana, this whole time period. Then she saw another three times when she was a na'ara. And at what kind of intervals, right? Not every 3 months, but every 2 months. And that way we have four re'iyot while she's a na'ara, and we resolve it. Okay, so what do they say? So let's read it inside. Why did you assume? Why do you assume every 3 months? No, in other words, it could be every 2 months was a time period. Okay, so now we end up with, that's the case, there's no Bogeret, in which case, this obviously doesn't raise any question on Rav. So we have this whole thing to raise a question on Rav, and in the end we say this case has nothing to do with Rav, it's not talking about a Bogeret at all. And we came up with a creative solution for how it could include a Nara. Okay, now we get a situation. Minyamin Skasna, okay, his name, person's name. Habashakil va'azala atre de Shmuel. Okay, this here you see how halacha can sometimes be very dangerous. He went to the place where Shmuel was. Savra le'me'avad uvda kavatei de Rav. He wanted to pask in a situation like Rav, afilu ra'ata. Okay, let's go very back to the beginning. How did we start today? Rav said, Bogeret gets the whole Laila Rishon. Okay, but only if she's a Bogeret who hasn't yet gotten her period. But if she's a Bogeret who's gotten her period, she only gets, now remember, what does this mean? It means she gets to be with her husband, and that's meaning she can be with her husband more, but if she bleeds, we're already going to count that after the first time as Nida. He wanted to paskin in a particular situation that no, she has all night, even though she already had her period. So, a little bit dangerous, what happens here? So now he was on his way to the Atre de Shmuel to do Lameh Bar Uvda Kavatei de Rav Afilu Rata. Amar Lo Palig Rav, he claimed that he thought mistakenly that Rav didn't distinguish Bein Rata, Bein Lo Rata. He didn't distinguish between whether someone already had a period or didn't have a period. Kadim Shachiv Beorcha, he died on the way. Okay, this is how serious they took this. Okay, he died on the way. Kare Shmuel Alei de Rav. Shmuel said the following thing about Rav. Okay, now about Rav, not about the person who died. Lo yu'unele tzadik kol aven. Okay, God protects the tzadikim from anything bad going wrong. In other words, here this person was going to misinterpret his words, and because of that he died, right? It's interesting. I actually find this whole statement interesting, because what's he saying? He's saying no bad will happen to his psak, right? In order to make sure, God had to kill the Rav on his way so he wouldn't mess up the words of Rav. Unfortunately, though, it actually did cause aven. It caused something bad. It caused someone's death, right? It's very interesting that they relate to the halacha being upheld despite the fact that someone got killed, right? You would think, lo tu'uneh elecha ra'ah, that nothing bad will happen to you. Something bad happened because you were going to mess up the halacha. Very sharp story. Okay, Amar Rav Chinina Bar Shlemya. Remember I told you we're going to come back to him? That's why I wanted you to remember his name then. Okay, I always compare that to the bus driver joke, you know, where they say people get on the bus, people get off the bus, right? They tell you at the beginning of the joke about the driver's name, right? It goes up in the girl all the time. You got to always remember it in the beginning because they're going to come back to it. So Rav Chinina Bar Shlemya said in Mishmei Derav, here's another good line. Kevan shenatku shinav shel adam, once a person's teeth fall out, nitma atum zonotav, he also has less food. This statement can be meant in lots of ways. Number one, it means, well, when you're old and you don't have teeth anymore, so it's hard for you to eat. It's also hard for you to do things, so you can't really work so well, and then you won't have food, okay? The Maharsha takes this, okay, good advice for people. Don't give your kids too much money. Save it for yourselves, because when you're old, you're going to need the money, okay? That's, yeah. So that's one way the Maharsha takes it. Some people say you have to pray more for your food, okay? Another interpretation is definitely an interesting one, and this is known to be true. Older people eat less often, and that you have less need for food. When you have less teeth and it's harder for you to eat, you actually end up eating less, whether you need less food or you eat less. So there's all different ways that this statement was taken. What does this have to do here? It's actually really interesting to me that it's here, because we were just talking about young betulot getting married, and then all of a sudden they kind of like flip things and go all the way to, you know, old age. It's like almost life cycle. I don't know. It's interesting that they kind of flip to that. And maybe with this death case in the middle, right, which kind of bridges the gap about how he was posketing about this betula and then he died, and maybe connecting that with old age. I don't know. It's an interesting, I don't know. It's kind of thrown in here. And now they're going to prove a pasuk. They're going to use the pasuk that proves it. Shnemar, gam nikayon shinayim b'chol arechem v'choser lechem b'kol mekomotechem. Okay, it's a pasuk from Amos. Okay, that you're going to have nikayon shinayim, you're not going to have teeth, and you're also going to have choser lechem. And there's the comparison between teeth, not having teeth, and not having food. Okay, ra'ata ve'oda. Okay, this is, she sees, and right, we're going back to, what's this, ra'ata? in the Mishnah, Ratava Oda Bebet Avia. Okay, if she already had her period before she got married. Remember, she's still young, but she already got her period. Tanu Rabbanan, Ratava Oda Bebet Avia. Beit Hillel Umrim, Kol Halayla Shela. Okay, she gets the whole night. Vinotnim La Ona Shlema. Before we move on, it said Kol Halayla Kula. In the Mishnah here, it says Kol Halayla Shela. This is a fascinating line. What does it mean? It's a way of saying the woman gets the entire night to be with her husband, right? It's kind of, first of all, it's really fascinating, and this comes up a lot in terms of halacha, in the Gemara, the way they talk about it, the focus on the woman, okay? This is, first of all, it's the woman's masechet, right? We're in Nida, it's all talking about the women, and the focus, you would think, like sexual relations, and the rabbis are talking, and they're thinking about themselves and their experience, and when it comes to sexual relations, first of all, in halacha, there's a mitzvah of ona, that a man has to give his wife sex when she wants it. And it's a very, I think, modern concept, right? It doesn't, in the ancient world, right, it was all male-focused and everything. And Doc, in this area, it's kind of, she gets the whole night, right? It's for her. It's for her pleasure, even though the first night is obviously, we know, not so simple for the woman. And maybe that's why they say it, you know, as a way. And it's just very interesting, the wording here, okay? And she gets onash lema. We assume that there's also a certain period of time after that if she bleeds, we're going to assume, again, it's not menstrual bleeding, it's dam betulim. Okay, we remember, dam betulim, why is it not a problem? Because it's a wound. It's a wound that's not uterine bleeding. Only uterine bleeding makes her in need. Kama onash lema. So how long is this onah? Peresh Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, laila v'chatzi yom. Now this is interesting. Whenever we talk about onos, we usually talk about an onah being a period of time of 12 hours, right? Either night or day. Okay, it's either the day or it's the night. Now here we end up with, she gets, actually I should do night and then day. Okay, she ends up with night, right? It says, Laila bechatzi yom. She gets half of this. That's very weird. We never really had that before. Umi b'inan kule hai, do you really get a day and a half? Urimini, it seems to contradict another source. Okay, now we're off topic. We're talking about purification of a wine press. Hare sheyu gitav ubeit badav tmeot. Okay, so where he was making the wine and the olives was tameh, the olive press, the wine press. Now, how do they become tameh? We're going to talk about different parts of it that are called pshutei kle'etz. Generally, for a kli to have impurity, it has to collect, it has to be have a receptacle. These are flat. They're metal implements that are flat. Wooden implements that are flat. They don't accept tuma. Metal ones do, but not wooden ones. But what's the problem? There's wine absorbed in them or oil absorbed in them that was tameh. So we have to figure out how can we purify these. So it's going to depend on which part of the olive press is tameh. Ubikesh lasotam b'tahara. He wanted to purify them. Ketzad oseh. So what does he do? Hadapim. So it depends which parts. Hadapim, it all depends on how much they've absorbed. So hadapim v'halulavim v'ha'adashim. Okay, these are planks they use to press the grapes. Or the palm spray. There's a bunch of different opinions about what lulavim is, but it sounds like a lulav. What do you use a lulav for? To sweep, right? It's good for sweeping. They would use it to sweep the grapes. And the adashim, these are where the receptacles that collected the grapes, or some people have other interpretations. Midichan, you rinse them off and that's enough. Okay, and then we assume everything gets out of them. Ha'akalim shel nitzarim. Okay, if we have baskets that are made from branches that were there, or v'shel bitzbutz, or that were made of linen or hemp. Min nagvan. So now you clean them with ashes and water. We had this a different time where some people said ashes with water, then water, and water, then ashes. It depends whether it was wet, dry. Anyway, we're not going to get into the details. Shel shifa v'shel gami, if it was a flour bin or it was reeds, made of reeds, miyashnan. You have to leave them, yashan, like a long time. Okay, you have to leave them a long time. Bekama miyashnan, how long do you leave them for? Yud bet chodesh, 12 months. Okay, so that's the time you need to wait till they become pure. We can assume over that time period there won't be any of the wine or the olives in there anymore. Rashbag, right, that was absorbed, because these really, really absorb. Rashbag omer minicham migat legad umibad lebad. Okay, there were time periods, right? Every year you would have the harvest, and then you would make the wine once a year, or the olive oil. So what do they say? Leave it from one period to the next. Now, this is strange, because Hainu Tanakama, it's the same thing. If you leave it from one year to the next, or you leave it from one season to the next season, the seasons were a year apart. So why would you say one or the other? What did they answer? Harfeva, ikabenayu harfeva afle. sometimes you can have a season where it's a little earlier or a little bit later, right? They grew a little earlier, they ripened a little earlier, they ripened a little later, in which case it won't be 12 months on the dot. It'll end up being a little bit longer. Okay, I don't know if you remember why we're here, but we'll get back to why we're here. Bafilu Rabbi Yossi Omer, Harotze L'Taher Miyad. So Rabbi Yossi, I'm sorry, I didn't say I read it off, the Afle, not Rabbi Filu. Sorry. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Harotze L'Taher Miyad. What if you want to not wait the 12-month period? Is there a way to get around it, right? This is classic, right? So you have to wait, and you're like, well, can I come up with some other system, right? He says, if you really want to do it, magilam berotchin, you can boil it, right? This is what we call hagala with kashrin. You can boil it. It's just like kashrin. You want to get the wine out. So what do? You boil it up in water. Or, here's an interesting one, chotam b'mezeitim. You could take water that came from the olives, or some people say it's the water that they would boil olives in order to soften them, and you can, chalita is where you pour the boiling water over it. Okay, rather than boiling it in water, take the boiling water, pour over it, that would work. That's Rabbi Yossi. Rashbag omer Rishum Rabbi Yossi, he had a different opinion about what Rabbi Yossi said, minichan tachad atzinor, it seems like they don't disagree, it's just another, these are kind of good ideas of what you could do. Minichan tachad atzinor shememav mekachin, o b'mayam shememav rotchim. Today would be a good day to do that. Put it outside, right, the water will come streaming down on it, and or put it where the water from a mayan is coming, and because of the constant flow of water, it'll eventually get out of there, and that's a way of speeding up this 12-month process. Okay, now, how did we get here? Vikama ona. Okay, where do we have ona? So, right. The question is, how long do you need to leave it under the streaming water? Okay, it didn't say ona there, but they mean you have to do it for an ona. Okay, so how? Oh, sorry, it's vikama. That's why I read it wrong. Vikama, and for how long do you need to leave it under there? In ona. That's right. Just punctuate it wrong. Right. This would help with the grammar of punctuation. Kederach shamru b'yeinesech, kach amru b'taharot. Now they say just like you have to do with these kelim that wine that a non-Jew used for his libations, you would also have to do for taharot the same amount of time. Now the Gemara says this doesn't make any sense. Klapilaya, but taharot kaminan. It should be the opposite. It's really, what should it be saying? The same way we just said by taharot, the same thing applies to yain nesach. Not just like yain nesach, it applies here. So therefore, they say ela kederach shamru b'taharot kach amru b'yain nesach. Okay, so now they say that's what it is. V'kama ona. Now here's the kama ona. Okay, before it was v'kama ona, and now they continue and they say, and now we're going to eventually get back to our issue. Just to remind you before we get here, we said an ona is laila and half a day. How much is an ona here? I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. O yom, o laila. Okay, it's either the night, or either the day, or the night. Okay, which means a 12-hour period as opposed to 18 hours, right? This is 18 hours, and by taharot, it says ona is yom, right? Either yom or laila, 12 hours. Okay, so that's our contradiction here. Rabbi Chana Bar Sheuna. Okay, there was a bit debate about what his name was. Was his name Rabbi Chana Sheuna or Rabbi Chana Bar Sheuna? Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzi Yom v'Chatzi Laila. Okay, he explains what does this mean. It means either half a day or half a night. But Amar, okay, so we're still, by the way, we're not up to the resolution yet. It's either Yom Laila. He says it's half a day and half a night. That seems weird, right? Two different things. But Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak v'lo pligi. There's really no argument here. There's no debate. Ha b'tkufa nisan v'tishrei, ha b'tkufa tamuz v'tevet. What they really wanted to say was a 12-hour period. Now, if you say only the day, right, now let's talk about, right, depending on what time of year you're up to, sometimes the night is much shorter or the day is much shorter. So what did they say? They said, a day, right, what they meant, chatzi yom, chatzi laila, they meant take a day that is not even, it's not 12 hours there, 12 hours there, and take half of each, which is going to get you to 12 hours, or in the days when they're even, and the night and the day are the same amount of time, then go either day or night. Okay, it was the same way of saying 12 hours. So now, get back to us. Hachanami ema gabenida, chatzi yom v'chatzi laila. So they say, so maybe that's what they meant by us. When they said laila v'chatzi yom, they meant half the night and half the day. Now, does that make sense? No. V'ha laila v'chatzi yom kamar. It doesn't say chatzi laila v'chatzi yom. It says laila v'chatzi yom. So that's a very nice interpretation, but it doesn't fit the words. Ela, e laila denisa v'tishrei, I chatzi yom b'chatzi laila d'teve b'tamuz. So what did they say? Either. Now, Nisan, everything's even, right? So either it's a laila. When they say laila and chatzi yom, what do they really mean? They mean either laila, if it's Nisan, or chatzi yom, which really means chatzi yom and chatzi laila in the time of Teved, right? What is it? Teved and Tammuz, when right now is Teved, right? We were almost, but it's days like today where the night is much longer. Right, exactly. V'ibayt Ema, and here's another very interesting interpretation, which shows different things were different then than they are now. Or maybe a different interpretation is Shani Ktuba Demagbe Batfe Adechatme. What does this mean? Now, nowadays, what happens? You go to a wedding at the tish, they sign the ketubah. How long does it take, right? You were just at a wedding, right? Your wedding of your daughter?
No,
wedding.
I wasn't there.
How long? Okay, you weren't at the tish? Okay. How long does it take? It takes about
20 minutes,
10 minutes, right? It doesn't take very long. Sometimes they read it through. At my wedding, it was a huge sore point. I was at the Bedeckin, and I said, I really don't want to sit in that chair. And I said, you know, please, I'll get to sit there for like 2 minutes. Just tell me when you're coming. I was at the tish, but I wanted to be part of the action. And then I went there, and I left. And for some reason, the rabbi decided to read the entire ketubah at the tish. And like, he took a while, and I was sitting there just waiting and thinking, why is this not finished? Anyway, that was my wedding. But what do they say here? In those days, it would take a very long time till they signed the ketubah. They wanted to get all the details straight. And this was a financial agreement of the commitment of the husband. Now it's a little bit more of a formality. Nobody really, right? Some people say, why are you hanging your ketubah on your wall, right? And it's a legal document, and it's the commitment of your husband financially to the wife. Seems weird, right? People do it anyway, but because really it's more symbolic nowadays. But basically, in those days, they would take a very long time to sign the ketubah. Essentially, you would have said nowadays, like, people dance really long at the wedding, right? It was the ketubah took a really long time, which means that until they got home, it was very late. So if you say she gets the night, well, if it's a 12-hour period, by the time she gets home and they have sex together, it's going to be much later. So she gets Laila v'chatzi yom because she's really only starting from the middle of the night, okay? So that's the second interpretation, which is creative interpretation. Okay, and interesting about the ketubah that apparently it took a long time to sign. Rabbi Shmuel, okay, now this was all, remember, the Mishnah was all about what if you have a woman, she sees blood after the first time, and how do we treat it? Okay, but it never said anything about they can't be together immediately after. It just said that if there was blood, what do we do with it? Come Rabbi Shmuel, and they say, they were the first generation of Amoraim. Da amrei tchavayu, halacha, the halacha is, right, it's rare the Gemara tells you halacha, bo'el bi'ilat mitzvah uporesh. And this is what we do nowadays, right? You sleep, right? They sleep together, they have sex, and then immediately separate. So much of Rav Chista says, how could you say this? Ma'aseh v'natan l'rebi dali leilot mitoch yubeh chodesh. We just had that case where she got 4 nights. Never said anything, she had to separate from her husband. So amar lei Rava, Haduria Pircha Lamali, why are you going to there? Why are you questioning from that story about Rebbe, which was a Braita, Otiv Mimatnitin? Why don't you just ask directly from our Mishnah? Seems to contradict. Our Mishnah said very clearly, right, she gets 4 nights. In certain cases, she gets, right, she gets the whole night, she gets this, right, and it never said she has to separate immediately. So why did you question from that story of Rebbe? Hu Savar Maserav. So what's the reason? Because he says, normally a Mishnah always is better than a Braita. But he said, I'd rather take from a story that happened rather than a halacha. Right? Someone says, this is the halacha. We understand sometimes people are more machmir than a halacha, something like that. But when you say the ma'aseh was that they did this, well, then it seems very clear that one can do it. So that's why always better to question if you have a real case. So that's why I brought it from a real case. But anyway, that was all skirting the issue. Mikom akom l'rav u'shmuel kashya. But in any case, this is difficult for Rav and Shmuel. How could the Mishnah, the story, all of it seems to raise questions where they get this from. So we now say, Inu da'avdu k'rabotenu. We're going to have a source from the Tanaitic time period. They didn't make this up. This came from a tradition that they had. D'tanya, it said in the Braita, Rabotenu chazru v'ninu. This is a very common thing that happens. They got up and they voted on something, and as they instituted an edict or a new halacha, bo'el bi'ilat mitzvah u'poresh. The rabbis decided we're going to basically say bo'el bi'ilat mitzvah and separate. And this goes back to what I started with, which was there was a concern Okay, there's different opinions about this. Some people think it has to do with that they were worried that maybe there'd be Nida blood mixed up with the Dam Betulim, that that was maybe a possibility. Some people say, as we said before, maybe the chimud caused her, right, the excitement of the moment. Maybe the activity would cause her period, and that there was all this concern and worry about her period coming. So there's two things going on here. On the one hand, there's the interest in having, you know, like making the first night kind of, you know, pleasurable for them and not kind of making them separate, and that was the whole thing, kol alayla shela, and there was that whole move on the one hand, but then on the other hand, there was this nervous, you know, especially the first time, what, you're going to end up sleep with your wife when she's in Nida, you know, and this nervousness about it that kind of pushed them the other way to say, bo'el bi'la mitzvah u'poresh. Amar Ula, ki hava ba Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish b'tinoket. This is a very interesting line. When they would learn tinoket, what's tinoket? That's the name of our parak, right? You can see it at the top. It started with tinoket. So when they would learn, right, when they were learning the parak of tinoket, lo hava mas kamina ela kedemasik tala mi be karcha. It's like raising up dirt from the ground. In other words, it was totally futile because they were learning all these halacha, but they were totally irrelevant because everything in the Mishnah is thrown out the window. Once you say, bo'el bi'la mitzvah u'poresh, it's like they were learning all this stuff that was totally irrelevant practically because, I mean, we know this in general, that sometimes you learn things in the Gemara that don't end up being relevant practically, but that's, they give this nice analogy to it, right? It's like throwing up the ground, you know, and getting nowhere. U'misayme be'hachi, and they would always finish their learning with the final line, bo'el bi'la mitzvah u'poresh. So they would learn this all theoretically, but in the end, practically, we don't even hold this way. Amar le Rabbi Ava le Rav Ashi, ela me'ata bal nefesh lo yigmor biato. He says from here, someone who's a bal nefesh and is worried about this, right, he shouldn't actually finish having sex with her, right? He should kind of wait to come out. This is, we saw this before, right? This is again a little how exactly you do this, but he can't actually finish because then he's going to end up being inside and she might have need of blood and it's a problem, and therefore you should be worried about this. But luckily, Rav Ashi says back to him, Amar Lein, Ken libo nokfo poresh. In other words, you're going to make him not want to have sex with his wife if you start telling him things like that. So again, there's this, you know, pull on one side to go this way, on the other side to go the other way, and say, you know, you got to be realistic here. If you tell that to everybody, no one's going to want to have sex with their wife on the first night, and they're going to be nervous, and it's you're adding more tension to a situation that's already possibly tense. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, now we're quoting a braita. Bekulan sheyu shofot dam ubaot mitoch dalilelo laachar dalilelo mitoch halayla laachar halayla. Anyone who is bleeding during this time period, whether she's the younger person and then she gets four nights, or the older person and she gets one night, all that time period, kulan tzrichim livdok atzmam. They still have to check and see what's going on. Ubekulam Rabbi Meir machmir kedivrei Beit Shammai, and Rabbi Meir is always machmir like Beit Shammai. Ushar ri'iyot shebein Beit Shammai ubeit Hillel halach achar mar'ed damim. So then he says, we follow based on what the blood looks like. All of a sudden we get into the fact that Dam Betulim likely looks different than Dam Nida. And this is the last Mishnah we saw of the previous parak about comparing them to grapes and wine and how wine of one color looks one way and wine of a different color looks a different way. And that there are different bloods and different bloods from different women and different, right here they're specifically talking about that there's a difference between the blood. Shaya Rabbi Meir Homer, Mar'e Damim Meshunim Hem, Zemi Zed. They look different. Ketzad, how do they look different? Dam nida adom. Dam betulim eino adom. Okay, I don't know exactly how you could say dam betulim isn't red, okay, but that's what he says here. And dam nida zihum. Dam betulim eino zihum. Right, it comes from internally. It's a little more like, cloudy? Okay, cloudy. It's a little more, you know, it's like, dam maka is like a bright red, right? And I don't know why they may say eino adom, but
not a bright color.
Right, not a bright red. Okay. You would have thought the opposite. You would have thought Dam Betulim is more bright red and the other is less bright red. But anyway, Dam Betulim eino zihum. Dam nida bamina makor, Dam Betulim bamina tzedim, right? It's very obvious because Dam makor comes from the inside, from the uterus, and Dam Betulim comes from the sides. But Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zo divrei Rabbi Meir, aval chachamim omrim, kol mar'e damim achatein. Okay, there's a debate here, and this is an interesting debate because they're debating what it actually looks like, and one could imagine also they're not really familiar with what blood comes out of women's bodies. So there's a debate about, right, we have a practicing or preparing to be doctor at the table. You have any insight as to the difference in the color of blood? But again, you don't necessarily need a doctor to tell you this, right? It's It's really, is it, right? What color is this blood? Is there a difference in the color? Is there not a difference in the color? Once you say the difference, then it makes this whole thing much easier. You can start determining what it is. You can do an internal check, see what color the blood looks like, and then figure it out. But according to Chachamim, the rabbis, there's no way to determine, and therefore there's no, you can't, you know, we have to basically be poresh. Okay, so we're left with, just to review, we had a Mishnah that gave all these distinctions and all the different things, and in the end, like we said, you know, it was all a bit of a futile discussion because the rabbis postulated otherwise, that as soon as you see down betulim, you have to, right, as soon as in the beginning, you have to be poresh, and that's the end of it. So it's interesting in terms of development, you know, that there was this whole debate, and then in the end, they just kind of put that all aside and said, well, we're concerned for other things. And again, you see the weighing of all the different sides. You know, on the one hand, to make the knight be kind of, you know, go lekrat the couple and thinking about their needs. And on the other hand, right, and this is usual in halacha where we have different people move in different directions when it comes to this. Some people want to go one way and some people want to go the other way. And then it's all a matter of, you know, just how things came about, you know, and which opinion ended up getting accepted and which didn't. But there were different attempts throughout to kind of push it one way or the other.